on, bud. There's a whole other world of dragons out there. Unbelievable. What do you say? What should we name it? Itchy Armpit it is.
Hey, who I have to say, I fucking love this movie. It's so sweet and cute.
Well, it was funny because, like, your tone before this when I was booting it up, it sounded like you were like, let's just get this over with. But I'm glad to hear that because if I had to be the person that said, this is the best animated movie of the year, and you didn't agree with me, I was going to be kind of upset.
Well, what did it go up against? That Legend of Oz movie? I mean, ain't been no other
Legend
movie.
The only competition it has so far this year is the Lego movie.
And Legend of Oz. you know, I got a question then, because, you know, a lot of people keep bringing... I don't know if I really looked at the Lego movie as animation, but I guess it could be thrown in there. What did you find better?
With this?
Yeah, or the Lego movie.
I think the Lego movie was more lighthearted than this, because this deals with some pretty dark shit.
Yeah, I was about to say, people, this movie is not for kids, just like the first one kind of was.
Hell no!
Actually, the first one started off like it was going to be for kids, and then that ending just left you like, oh, everything's fine. Wait a minute, he ain't got a leg no more.
Which they bring up in this movie.
And I'm not going to lie, around a certain point where it was supposed to get emotional, something flew in my eye in a teardrop fair too, or whatever. Now, granted, I was going to cry before that scene happened anyway, but something really did fly in my eyes. So I was already rubbing my eyes, but then when it happened, I was just like, it's making it worse right now. Yeah, this movie, very emotional. Oh my God.
Yeah,
I never thought I would have gave a fuck about Gerard Butler.
It's one of those things where there's so many moments in this movie that it's just like, holy shit.
We're talking about How to Train Your Dragon 2, by the way.
Yes, we are.
You know that. Yeah. You know what? Before we get into 12 minutes talking about how much we love it, what is the plot synopsis,
Lee? Okay, so the plot synopsis is that this takes place 5 years after the original. And that pretty much, you know, the people of the land have now accepted dragons. The village of Burke. They've accepted dragons into their lifestyle, and they kind of use them as just farm animals or kind of pets in a way. And
they're mainly as pets. They help around the village and shit and do what they got to do. It's almost like what do you call those places? Like almost like a nursery for dragons in a way.
Yeah. So, basically, Hiccup and his companion, Toothless, they're just flying around Tartan New Area. Hiccup is kind of concerned to the fact that his father, who is Stoic? I forget how they pronounce
Stoic.
It. Yeah, Stoic, played by Gerard Butler. His father keeps telling him, like, look, Hiccup, you're my son. You're probably going to take over this village, whether you like it or not.
He's like pushing 19 now, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's because I saw the little stubble on his cheekbones there. I was like, oh, they tried to put a little beard or whatever. By the way, I gotta say, Toothless, that motherfucker looks amazing.
Yeah,
I want one.
So, yeah, like all the dragons in here, like that was one of the things that I was gonna bring up whenever we like it is that each dragon has their own unique look to it.
I was gonna say, but Toothless though, there's something about that motherfucker. He just looks badass or whatever. You get in the first movie that he's the baddest of all the dragons. No. Well, technically he is at the end of the movie, but as far as looks go, there are a whole world of dragons. Even the one that a certain character has that he finds out later who he might be with or whatever, Dragon was bigger than his. I was like, God damn.
Yeah.
But continue, please.
So, pretty much how this works is that as they are all flying around and everything, they discover a person named Eric. Who is a dragon trapper, played by Kit Harington. And he captures dragons to give to the villain of the movie named Drago. Am I right on that?
Yeah, Kit Harington, you just need to stick to voice acting.
Or Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that too.
Or Game of Thrones. But, you know what? Not the point. Because, basically, what happens is that they find out that Drago is creating an army of captured dragons and that, you know, long story short, some shit's going to go down.
Yeah, I think they even made a point of it. It's like, what are you going to do with these dragons? You going to take over the world and do this? And he just, And as little screen time as that villain has, he gives a backstory on his whole situation where I was just like, you know what? I can't argue with you right now. I can't even argue with you right now. I mean, even, what's his name? Hiccup even looked at him and was like, damn, that sounds fucked up.
Yeah.
Well, hey, can I just have my dragon back at least or whatever? No.
Yeah.
So, it's basically, you got a story of the beginning of with Hiccup. It's mainly a Hiccup story, and it's pretty much his story of who he wants to be and what is his choice is going to be in life. He's pretty much trying to figure out who he is.
Uh-huh. And
because obviously he's nothing like his father.
Yeah. So that's really what this movie's about. And to throw a monkey wrench into this whole thing, they find his mother.
Like nobody saw that from the trailer.
That's true. That's true. That's pretty shown in the trailer. But that's a monkey wrench.
Much makes it the worst. That was the worst trailer I've ever seen, too, though. Because I was just like, damn, you would think they would have, like, not even put that in there. I mean, like, they just threw that in there or whatever.
That's kind of, like, one of the big twists of the film, or at least that's what they're writing on, is that it's a twist. But what, you know, where other movies where it's like, that's a twist, and then there's nothing else. There's so much more here that they didn't show in those trailers.
Yeah, I will say that, too. I thought that the mother thing had so much build-up to it that I was just like, why would they show that in the trailer, too? They need to fire that marketing guy, whoever they hired to put that trailer together, because, wow. you know what? But once again, the movie was so good that it wasn't something that, like, oh, I saw that coming or whatever. I thought, actually, I was just waiting for, like, take the fucking mask off. I know who you are or whatever. It took her so long to take it off that I was just like, oh, maybe I'm fucking up then. Maybe that's not her.
Yeah, and in one of the things that, you know, this movie in the first half, it's really more of an exploration movie. And once again, just like the first film, it looks dazzling with the 3D and just the detail of animation they put into it. It's not until the second half of this film that it really does become the dark film that we had been seeing reviewers who got to see this early talking about.
I thought it was dark, but yes, still so fun, too, at the same time.
That's true.
I was so intrigued with the story towards the end. Like you said, the beginning of opening, we get a kick-ass flying scene, by the way, people. This is the first movie I would definitely tell people you have to see in 3D IMAX almost, because, my God, the shit when it opens up just looks beautiful, what Hiccup and Toothless does.
Right.
And the whole flying sequences in here makes you want to go out and buy a 3D blue TV.
Yeah, it really does, because you can tell the amount of detail that they put into this. And it's
even
just
the land itself.
Yeah, I agree. And that, like,
there was a land that Hiccup had found, or him and Toothless, when they first landed after the flying scene or whatever, and just the cinematography of the shot of it, I was just like, my God, that looks fucking beautiful for an animated film. I have one problem with the film, and it's really overlooked or whatever. How the fuck did Jay Baruchel become an actor? Because goddamn, that nigga's voice is annoying.
I think it's one of those things where, like, you know, it's clear that he has some very powerful friends in Hollywood.
Yeah, I guess you're right about that. Whatever.
That's very true. And plus, the dude's done his hand in writing. Like, I know he had a hand in writing the first film.
Yeah.
And this one he stepped back because he knew the director had a clear vision for this one. So he stepped back of writing on this one.
A lot of people are asking which one is the better of the films, and personally, I wouldn't even go that route. I think that they're on par with each other, and I think it's definitely one of the best sequels I've ever seen.
Yeah, because
I think it's a perfect back-to-back feature to watch as far as sequels go.
It's one of those sequels that does what a sequel should. It builds upon the ideas and great qualities of the original and finds ways to either make them better or keep using them in an effective way.
That is a great point there. All right, there is this, I don't even remember the name of this dragon, but once he finds out there's his mother, though, there's this big-ass ice dragon there. My God, did you see the details they put in that dragon when he got out of that cave? I was like,
one of the wildebeest, correct?
Yeah, I don't remember the name, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, because the one of the aspects that they bring up in this movie is that there's wildebeests that control the dragons in the area. And the one in the area of Burke is a good wildebeest because it's being taken care of by Hiccup's mom.
Yeah.
Well,
there's an idea of the story here that the dragons aren't as bad, it's the people that control them are. So
right. Which in the second half of the film becomes very effective in the story.
There's even a backstory here of why his mom left him in the first place, and I thought that was a nice story too. I thought, you know, I felt the movie ain't even halfway over yet, but halfway through the film when he met his mother and she told him that story, I felt like Hiccup's job in the movie was done.
I thought that character
her progressed to what he was looking for, and I thought it pretty much it was going to end in the next 10 minutes, to be honest. Like,
and it was like, oh, all right, well, that was short, but let's all go have a good day. And then the film went, oh, you think we're done?
That first battle, I thought the movie was about to end right there, because I was just like, oh, yeah, because after that scene I just talked about, that's when the battle is about to begin. And the battle happens, and I was just like, they're going to win this one. And they lose that one. I was just
not only do they lose, they fucking get decimated.
I was like, how long is this movie? Because, fuck, how do you recover from some shit like that? I thought the movie's going to end when Hiccup and them was looking in the sky, and I thought it was just going, like, they was going to break onto a sequel and just say, fuck.
Yeah, here's how this one works, people. And, you know, here's where movie spoilers comes in. Cut out for the next 2 minutes if you don't want to know. But basically, the bad Bewildered Beast wins, kills the good one, so all the dragons of Burk become evil, including Hiccup. I mean, not Hiccup, Toothless.
Their names almost sound like it, so I almost fucked that up too.
Toothless becomes evil, and Drago uses him to try to kill Hiccup, but instead kills Stoic.
Now, people probably be like, why do you give a fuck about Stoic now? They set up before that whole battle. There is a beautiful 15-minute scene, at least, between Stoic and Hiccup's mom. To where, I'm not gonna lie, I thought that was sweet and romantic. I ain't gonna lie, I was sitting there like
it is
like the whole scenery together where they were like Hiccup was like, you can come back, and then his Stoic was like, calm down, son. She'll make the right choice when she has to, or whatever. And the way he just played it so smooth and like such subtlety in that scene, or whatever. To build up on this character, a Stoic, where before he came, she described him as like, there's no changing this man or whatever, and you see so much change in him as he once again when he's reunited with his wife.
You also see it in her too, where she's so relieved that change has happened.
Yeah, and I thought that was one of the most beautiful scenes of the whole movie, especially in the scene where
it's one of the most beautiful we've seen all year.
Yeah, I will say that. It's definitely even more beautiful when his mom saw how Hiccup trained his dragon and cared about him. Whenever she hugged him, she was like, "Oh, you're just like me." Because you can tell just by her saying that she had this fear that he was going to be like his father.
Yeah, yeah, really. That's a very excellent point.
I thought there was so much depth in just that little those little touches right there in that little animation from him. I was like, "Wow, that's so amazing!" And then like Lehu says. The bad guy here, he gets a hold of the dragon. I didn't even know he killed the giant good dragon or whatever shit. I was just like, damn, did he just stab that dragon with a horn? I saw that.
No, just straight up like, good dragon, gone.
Yeah, that motherfucker, like, he pulled it out slowly, too. Like, he was like, because we don't want nobody to believe. Did that dragon die? No, we're going to show you this motherfucker die. Because they put that camera on that dragon pulling his horns out slow. I was just watching that for us. I was just like, he's not dead. Come on now. Who's going to kick this dragon's ass in? He can't be dead.
So basically what ends up happening is that Hiccup has to pretty much, you know, based on the relationship that they built over the last two films, pretty much knock Toothless out of his brainwash, which he manages to do. And
Hiccup's a dumbass. He's sitting there like, I could change this guy or whatever. And his father and his mother keep telling him, some people just can't change. I don't know why you think you can talk to this person. I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but trust me, I know this guy, don't do this. And that scene where Gerard Butler got killed.
That's where Hiccup decides, all right, dude, you get to fucking die.
And you saw a little fear, because Toothless comes back to normal or whatever, and then Hiccup's like pushing him off, like, get out of here and stuff like that. I don't want nothing to do with you. And then I love the bad guy, that motherfucker. He just turns around, voiced by Jamon Hansu, people here, man. Hey, that guy's voice is amazing, whatever. I like how he just turned around and gave that little snicker. Then he fucking yanked Toothless down and said, get your ass here, bitch. You my ride now. I was like, God damn it.
Yeah,
just like an African man would.
Yeah, so basically after the Toothless and Hiccup are able to reunite, they decide to go against the Alpha and say, fuck this. We're going to make this place good again, and we're going to screw over your whole army.
There's a scene in here where... the mother teaches Hiccup more about his Toothless and stuff like that. And he has these flaps that even Toothless didn't even fucking know about, to be honest. There's these like wings on his back, whatever, that helps him turn more easily and diagonal a little bit better than what he can. And apparently that motherfucker pulled a Godzilla and started shooting out blue flames with them damn things.
Yeah.
And that was a badass scene right there. I'm not gonna lie. That fight scene,
the
was
final fight,
amazing. All of them. Well, that last one definitely was, but still, that last one had me on the edge of my seat. Cause I was like, "Tuss is gonna get his ass whooped by that Drake." Look at that. Look at
that. It's like, oh name. No, he's actually holding his own.
When that motherfucker got iced, and that motherfucker started glowing and shit, I was like, "Tuss,
yeah,
on, champ, get up from the ground, baby. You can do this." Motherfucker started lighting up. I was just like, oh shit, that dragon is a badass dragon.
Yeah.
I thought it was another addition added to this dragon, because in the first one they set it up as such a, it's a mythical creature. He's a legendary beast and stuff like that. And you see this movie, before that ending, you really just look at these other dragons and go like, I really don't see why, because my God, there's a lot of beautiful dragons in here. I mean, shit. Even the one his mom was flying around on, that bitch had four wings.
Yeah, and that's what I was alluding to earlier, is that one of the things that I really do love about this movie is once again, the attention to detail. Every dragon looks different, and that takes a lot for an animation studio to do.
I'm glad that they put the money. I think it's definitely one of the higher budget films I saw that was well worth it.
$145 million.
Actually, that's kind of cheap compared to most films over here, like I guess like X-Men or something like that, they had $200 million. I mean, I don't think they needed really that much money. $145 million, that's actually pretty decent for what they did here. And I thought this is probably definitely one of the most, one of the most beautiful films I've seen as far as big budget releases I've seen all year.
Yeah, the surprising thing is that the first film actually cost more to make.
I was going to say, I thought that one was less.
No, the first one was $165 million.
That's funny as fuck, because most films say like, oh, we're going to give it a bigger here. And this movie has a pretty big cast on it too. I forgot that Jonah Hill was attached to this shit, and Christopher Plaza and all that and whatever.
Yeah, American Ferrera, Kristen Wiig, TJ Miller, Gerard Butler,
Cate Blanchett.
Yeah, getting Cate Blanchett in this new one.
I forgot all about that cast. And once again, nobody never feels like they take over from Hiccup's role here.
Yeah.
So I actually love the movie a lot. I really want to see it on my big screen at home now, whatever. I'd love to. Actually, I'm thinking of getting a 3D Blu-ray. I mean, TV player now for this shit.
Yeah. So, what would you give it?
I ain't giving it a see it. I would love to say one of my favorite films of the summer, but it is up there in my top five right now. Definitely one of the better big budget films I've seen. Month of June is really slapping May in the face and saying, hey, you're supposed to get your shit together. What's going on here?
Yeah, it's funny because I even though I didn't come on last week, but after seeing Edge of Tomorrow and Fault in Our Stars, two both very good movies, I was just like, wow, May kind of sucked.
May's supposed to be the better month. What the fuck?
I know. June's coming in. It's like, hey, remember how last summer how Man of Steel left a bad taste in your mouth for the rest of the month? Yeah, that's not going to happen this time.
You know DC's probably like, shit, we should have had a movie in June now. Whatever.
It would have stuck out like a sore thumb as the bad one.
Hey, don't count us out now. We got Batman vs Superman coming your way, baby.
Oh, God. I haven't.
But yeah, I give it a see it, though.
Okay. I also give it a see it. I mean, like I said at the beginning, one of the things that you have to do with sequels, because we know we're going to get a lot of them this summer, that's just how it is nowadays. One of the things you have to do with sequels for it to be good, to me, is that you have to take the success, what worked in the original, and make it either better or, you know, keep it the same and keep playing on the strengths that it causes. And thankfully, we have two films this weekend that were able to do that. This especially. This, you know, the first movie was a very story-driven type movie, and this is the same exact thing. It goes to very dark places, which I was surprised at how dark it got.
Actually,
honestly,
this one goes a lot darker than the first one.
Yeah, it goes to the very dark places that I'm interested to see how it's going to do financially, just because you said it best at the beginning. This movie is not for kids.
No, this is definitely for young adults going into teen. Young adults to parents.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how this movie performs with the kid demographic, considering it's an animated movie. But not that being the point, it's still one of the best. I say it's one of the best written movies we've seen this summer, easily.
Not me. There's a lot of indie films better than this, though.
Good. Yeah, and I haven't seen a lot of those. So to me, it's one of the better written films of the summer, considering we've, you know, in terms of the other sequels that we've gotten this summer, this is on that upper tier of them. So I also give this a C.
I think the problem, once again, the best thing is not degrading whether it's better than the first one or not. I think personally, it's on par with that first one. Like you said, it adds on more to that story. And I think this is the first movie I've seen as a sequel where I want to watch both back to back right now. And I think this personally is, if the third one, which is coming out in 2016, if the third one is any as good or carries on like this one does, this could be up there with the Toy Story franchise.
I agree. I actually kind of want to read these books that this series is based off of.
I'm curious about those books now too, to be honest.
Yeah, I want to see if those books get as dark.
It's probably darker, to be honest.
Yeah, never know.
Those books, young adults or not? Or
yes, they are.
Interesting. I don't see nobody praising about those goddamn books.
There's no vampires.
I would be happy as fuck if someone gave me a toothless right about now. I would love to fly him. Now, granted, he'd probably be an alcoholic and be fucking up at half time. So.
Oh, don't be like that.
Hey, I'm not saying I'd give it to him. I'm just saying sitting here.
That's what you alluded to.
I don't have no milk to put in the bowl, and you know, hey, here's a little something here.
Give him some of P1's right good old cranberry juice.
yeah, and some vodka. And your name is Killer.
you be Geom Hotsu with Dragon. If dragons actually existed, you be Geom on Hotsu, just making them all drunk and causing chaos.
Yeah, his name would be Ghostface Killer RZA.
Oh, dear God, I'm cutting this off. Good night, everyone.
The badass dragon. Shaolin RZA. There you go.
Oh, God. Good night, everyone.
Later, people.
Dragon Riders coming through. Yeah! We can't fly these things.
They're babies. They don't listen to anyone. Distract the Alpha.
Have a nice flight.